Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast brought to you by CloudSpot, the best solution for photographers of all skill levels to deliver and sell your photos online. Today, we are continuing our 10-part photography manifesto series, and in today's episode, we are more than halfway through it. If you haven't heard the photography manifesto overview episode, be sure to check out episode 334, where I go over all 10 rules and give you a brief description of what they are. Today, we dive deep into rule number 7, you know, and I created the photography manifesto because I know that you want to become a better photographer. And all of these hashtag photography hacks will not help you get there. You know, the information in this photography manifesto will. It's everything that is not related to camera settings. It's everything that is related past that. Everything that really matters in an image. You've heard me say that moment matters most in an image, which is absolutely true. And it doesn't matter what your camera settings are. You can take a great photo, even with a cell phone, if you're not in control of your settings. So I want to teach you how to do that. I want to teach you all the things to take a great photo that have nothing to do with the camera itself, but everything that you decide to make happen, that you decide to put into an image. Now, this photography manifesto was created with 10 years of experience as a professional photographer and also with some of the biggest takeaways that I've had from guests after interviewing more than 300 just world-class photographers here on the podcast every single week. So let's go over a refresher to this point, right? Photography manifesto rule number 1 is the point of photography is to enrich the human experience. Photography manifesto rule number 2 is to be a halfway decent photographer. You must dedicate all of your time to it. Photography manifesto rule number 3 is moment matters most in an image, not camera settings. Photography manifesto rule number 4 is that you don't need to know everything in photography to know anything in photography. Manifesto rule number 5 is that your camera is not holding your back. You are holding yourself back. Photography manifesto rule number 6 is if there's no intention, there's no image. And today, as I said, we talk about photography manifesto rule number 7, which is the only photographer you are in competition with is yourself, right? So how is it that you're only in competition with yourself? So when we first get into photography, it is very easy for us to want to pick up this camera that we have in front of us and capture amazing images. That's why we bought the camera, because we saw what was capable by other photographers when they had a dedicated camera in their hand, something that wasn't a cell phone, something that, you know, wasn't just a snapshot, but when they had a nice camera, they're able to create these beautiful images. So we buy this nice camera and we attempt to learn how to use it so that we can take great images. Now, the way that we go about this is whether, you know, you're going through tutorials or blog posts, or you're just trying to figure it out on your own, or you decide to invest in some sort of course to learn how to use your camera, you do something, because you immediately realize that just shooting an auto isn't gonna cut it. It's not gonna give you the level of photo that you want. So you start to learn how to use your camera. And it's when this happens that we start seeing such big leaps forward in our work, right? Once you understand how to use aperture and create that depth of field, once you learn how to, you know, lower your ISO a little bit and get a cleaner image, or raise it up so that you can shoot beautiful images in the dark, that feels like such a big leap forward in our journey as photographers. And it feels like we're just making stride after stride after stride. And then you get to the point to where you are comfortable in manual mode and you can go out and pretty much confidently shoot in just about any type of lighting situation. However, you're still not able to capture images in the way that you want to. And that's tough, because not only are you taking your photos and seeing them for yourself and realizing like, this isn't what I want, but you know, maybe you're posting them online and you're trying to get that feedback. You're trying to see what others think of your work. Maybe you're not asking directly, but you can kind of tell by the amount of likes that something gets, or how much engagement, or the comments that it gets on your image. And more often than not, it's not a lot. You know, it's very rare that somebody has a following in on some sort of social platform that they do garner hundreds, if not thousands, of likes or comments or whatever every time they post an image. And the issue with that is that when somebody does post a photo and you look at this image and you like that photo, and that photo also gets a lot of likes, comments, whatever, you say to yourself, well, of course, look how great that photo is, which immediately implies that your work isn't good because you're not getting a lot of likes and comments. So in your head, you're already telling yourself this image isn't good. It's definitely not as good as this other photographer's work right here. But in reality, like, this is a relatively new thing, the social landscape that we have, because how people learn photography in the past is either a complete self-discovery journey where they just took a camera, would shoot, but then they would have to diligently, you know, write down their settings, remember their stuff. And then when they would look back at their images, give themselves a critique and figure out what it was that they liked and what they didn't, and then improve that way. Or they would go to school for photography, where you would talk about photography and you would share your images after you would go out and shoot them and then come back and share them with other students. And then you would talk about, well, what were you going for? And you would talk about the settings and the scene that you were in and whether or not you were able to capture it in that way, or if there's ways that you could have improved your work, right? But today, we don't have that as much, because going to school for photography, I understand it takes time, it takes money. And hey, if you can just take your photos and throw them up online, you know, and essentially have the public's opinion of, yes, I like it, or I'm just not going to react to your photo, then that's a whole lot easier than, like I said, going to school or something. So that brings us back to, we are now using social media to judge our own work. And if we get less likes than another photographer, suddenly they're just a better photographer because they got the more likes. And I want to tell you, I mean, firsthand, I know of a photographer who, they know photography. They're a very skilled photographer. I've seen them shoot in many different styles of photography and be very proficient at it. But their kind of everyday style is this, you know, old school direct flash on their camera, just kind of illuminates everything directly in front of them. It's very flat. And that is their unique style. Even though it's not technically ideal, even though technically it's not, you know, what you would suggest to shoot in many of these situations or in many situations, that's the style that they choose for both personal work and even quite a bit of professional work. And this photographer gets a lot of likes on their images on social media because it is unique and it's uniquely their own. But technically, it's not a good photo. And I just want to illustrate there that just because, you know, a photo isn't, just because a photographer gets a lot of social recognition doesn't mean that the photo itself is inherently good, right? So what that photographer did was realize, I really like this thing. I'm going to go deeper into that and make it my own. And they did. And now people like it. If you were to just take a photo with a disposable camera and get that direct flash look, it might get more likes than, you know, a traditional photo, but only for its, you know, novelty, because we don't shoot a lot with disposable cameras anymore. But this photographer has taken it and made it their own, which are two very different things. But what they did, again, was that they took a style of photography that they liked. They tried something, they put it into practice, and then they made it their own. Now, I don't know about you personally, but that can be kind of discouraging to see. A photograph that is technically very bad, and yet it has a lot of interaction, it has a lot of recognition on social media from others. Because once again, you feel like, what am I doing wrong here? I can see that this photo is not a good photo. And despite that, people love it. And that can cause you to question your own work in photography. That can cause you to question what it is that you're shooting, how you're shooting it, the light that you're using, the composition, your lens choice, all of these things, in the hopes that next time you go out and shoot, you can possibly do it more in that style and garner more digital recognition on your images. And what's super sad to think about is that if that happens, now you're going to keep going down that path because, oh, people like this style. I'm going to start doing this, more of this, because that's what people want to see. And if you're only shooting what people want to see, I'm telling you, that is such a recipe for disaster for so many reasons. Because number one, if the images that get probably the most recognition online are not necessarily timeless images, it's not images that have a lot of meaning. It has something that's unique about it. I don't know how to describe these images, but there's certain images online of like, especially like in the photography space. I'm sure you've seen them. It's just like a photo of a photographer like holding a camera. It's a super wide photo. Maybe they're like in the middle of the road, but like the camera that's taking the image that you're looking at is like really focused on the camera. And then it just makes the photographer look epic because now they're like some massive giant because it's such a wide angle photo. To either tons of saturation or tons of drama. But there's no substance to this photo. Like when I look at these images, I ask myself like, what am I looking at here? Like, this is just, it's like the visual version of sugar. It's like, oh, that's a camera. I know what that looks like. Oh, that's a wide angle lens. That's cool. That's interesting. And you like it, but it doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't do anything. These images don't tell any sort of story. They don't communicate anything other than, hey, you know what a camera looks like, and here's a photographer, here's a lot of color. It's like a dopamine hit, but again, there's no substance. You know, my kids love, you know, candy. They love Oreos. They love cotton candy and stuff like that, but we don't let them eat that all the time because there's nothing in it for them. It's not going to help them. It's not going to make them a better human. In fact, it's going to make them worse. You know, and if you are chasing these trends of this, you know, this super wide angle shot where you're really close to, you know, whatever something that somebody is holding. I don't know how to describe it more than that. It's just garbage, essentially. Then someday that style of photography is going to get old real fast. I'm honestly shocked that it hasn't gotten to that point already, but there is considerably less images being produced in that style today than there was in the past. So maybe it is changing. And now maybe it's only being kept alive by the photographers who continue to shoot in that style. At least I hope. But anyway, when you chase that, when those trends start to change and you're not able to recognize it immediately, what you're going to see is that your work is going to start getting less and less recognition. And then you're going to start wondering, well, why? Why is my work getting less recognition? Do people not like my work as much? And then you're just going to keep chasing trends. That is a huge problem. That is a huge problem because here's the thing. If you get into photography and you start to discover your own inner vision, right? The way that you see the world, and that's through light, that's through composition, that's through lens choice, that's through subject matter, that's through moment, all of these things that you love in a photo. After time, if you keep exploring that, you are going to be able to shoot anything in your personal style. When somebody sees anything that you shot, it's going to feel uniquely your own. So now, in a situation where you are able to, you know, when you have that inner vision, when you have that style that is unique to you, if a trend comes and you think that it's interesting, now you're going to be able to try it out. And if it doesn't work, well, now you know that it wasn't necessarily your photography. it was just that trend that you were trying out that didn't lend itself to how you shoot as a photographer. And I have been to, you know, a number of workshops. I've seen a number of YouTube tutorials. I'm sure that you have as well. And I can tell you that, you know, doing one thing, trying out a trend, trying out a technique in shooting, these things don't change your photography at its core. These are all like, they all build up. They all build up to create your own personal style. So maybe you see some sort of tutorial on how to, you know, use lighting in a certain way. And while you don't use it exactly, you pick up something on, you know, maybe flash position and you think, oh, okay, I'm actually going to try that, but kind of in a different way and, you know, see how that looks and you end up liking it. Well, now you're going to keep shooting that way because you like how that turned out. So that's just going to compound and become bigger and better. And that's going to become more uniquely your own as you grow and adapt your photography style. And then you learn something else about maybe lens choice for a certain style of image. And again, even though this tutorial was about family photography, I don't know, you say to yourself, oh, actually, I can kind of apply something like that to my macro photography. And then that is how it grows. You see something, you try it out, and then you decide whether you're going to implement it or not, right? And again, over time, that is how you build a style. Ryan Brenneiser is known for having a photography technique where you do a bunch of different photos, you know, a series of images from left to right, where the images kind of overlap a little bit. And then you take all those images into a program like Photoshop, and then you can combine them into a wider image or an image with a wider field of view. That isn't his whole style. There's so much more that goes into a Brenneiser image, from light, from lens choice, from technique, from moment, from subject matter, from the editing, from the colors. All of those things go into his style. And now when he uses that technique, he's able to make it uniquely his own. There's a very big difference there. A technique is not a style. And yet we look to try new techniques in the hopes that people like them. And then we continue to think that those techniques become our style, but they're not. We need to break free from these external expectations to become the photographer that you want to be. So how do you do that? How do you do that? The only way to break free from external expectations is to not look at other photographers as competition. And I'm not saying that you do that, you know, like, oh, every other photographer, ooh, you are my competition. But there's this mindset that we have that, once again, if somebody gets more recognition than you do on a similar style of photo, you're going to feel like, well, then they must be better, or there's something about their work that I'm lacking, something like that. And that is what we need to break free of. But what we're not taking into account, or because rather we're not taking that, what, because we are not taking into account the fact that maybe they've been shooting longer, or maybe they've been focusing on one aspect longer, or they are able to see something a little bit different. I think I talked about this with, who was it? Oh, it was Ryan Cootie, who we were talking about the Community Spotlight episode. We were talking about people like Jerry Guiones and Vanessa Joy, who have this eye when it comes to posing that is so precise, right? They know exactly what they want without the person being in that pose. But he and I commiserated on the fact that when we see it, we know it, but we can't see it if it's not there. You know, so we have to still play to our advantages. And maybe a photographer has just some sort of mental advantage that you don't, in a way that they see things, in a way that they interpret things. So you cannot compare yourself to any other photographer because you are uniquely your own. So the only person that you can compete with is the person who you were yesterday. The photographer who you were yesterday is the only photographer who you can compete with, because that's the only photographer. You know their journey. You know their editing style. You know how they see the world. You know how they shoot. That's what you have to do. And the only way to do that is by trying new things and taking chances. And I mean, really being diligent with it. And I guess I'll go back to that example of I've taken a lot of, YouTube tutorials. I've been to a lot of workshops. One example is Sam Hurd. Sam Hurd is known for doing lots of different creative techniques with his images. And one for a while was really popular was using a prism in front of his lens to distort light coming in and create these interesting kind of rainbow patterns. Beautiful images, right? I mean, he's able to create really unique, beautiful images that lend itself to his style of photography. Well, I went to one of his workshops and I saw how he did it and I attempted to try it for a long time. I take that back. I attempted to do it right away and I had a very hard time trying to figure out how to make it look like obviously he was able to do it. The difference was he'd been doing it for a long time. So rather than just taking, you know, one, two, three or a handful of photos and look at it and say, no, I can't really figure this out. This isn't for me. I stuck with it for, you know, 6-8 months. Both in my own personal work, photographing my son, and in professional work, taking it to weddings and trying it out there. Because I wanted to give it an honest try. I wanted to know that I was doing it correctly so that then I could determine whether or not it was right for me. And ultimately, I realized that it doesn't lend itself to my photography. And I think that it's because, once again, I like more of that kind of run and gun type of photography and not so much the huge planning and the preparation and figuring out exactly how an image is going to work and I guess pre-visualizing it in my head. So therefore, every time I would go to use it, it would take me some time to figure out how this prism would lend itself to an image. That was my front door and not your front door. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Now, what's hardest about that probably is the fact that once you take a few photos and it doesn't work out the way that you want it to, it feels like you are pushing something that shouldn't be there, right? Because it doesn't fit in the way that you traditionally see photography. Remember, there was a time where you didn't know how to shoot in manual mode. There was a time where you didn't know how to fully use your camera. And learning that aspect was difficult. It felt like a grudge. But once you got through that, then things became easier. And that is why you have to give something a try more than just a handful of times, more than just for 3 or 4 different shoots. You have to try it long term to see how you can best use it in your photography to determine whether or not it is right for you and your style of photography. And again, the only way to do that is to do it long term. That's the only way that you can embrace these mistakes and take these chances. Because if it doesn't work out, well, that's fine. You know, what's the phrase? You didn't fail. You just learned another way that didn't work. And why that's so important is because in photography, a lot of things are new. And a lot of things we have to try because we haven't done them before. And it's all very subjective because, like art, it is in the eye of the beholder, whether or not it's quote unquote good or bad. So you may hate something that you shoot, but other people love it. And I think that if I were to be the type of photographer who would try to, or who would maybe not try to, but who would just see a photo online and think, wow, this is interesting. I'm going to go ahead and give this a shot. And then it, you know, became, got that recognition that we were talking about. I would then want to pursue that. And then that's a trap to fall in for me and my style of photography, because I want to, I what I want to do is learn from the mistakes that I've made, rather than figure out, well, what is it that everybody else is doing? And then I'll just do that too, because then you just kind of fall into the mix. There's nothing that makes you different from anybody else. Before Tesla, there were a lot of electric cars that you could buy. And everybody made fun of them because they were teeny tiny. They were, typically a two-seater, because, an electric car took a lot of battery power. And one way to make batteries more efficient is to have a car that weighs less. A car that weighs less, two doors, only has two people, not a huge range. Tesla came in, and what they did was said, no, we're not going to make an electric car. We're going to make a new car that is electric. And even though it's the exact same wording, it's just in a different position. It's phrased differently because it's an entirely different thing. That's what he did. He created Tesla created an entirely different thing because they weren't trying to compete with other automakers. They were in competition with themselves. How do we make a car, like a brand new car, that is electric? Not how do we make a new electric car? Because to that point, electric cars had been garbage. And now it's almost a status symbol. That can only be done by taking chances and making mistakes. So as a photographer, I really encourage you to ask yourself, how can you take chances? How can you focus more on your work? How can you look at less photographers' work as a form of comparison? Even though it's, unconscious, you're not looking at a photographer's work to judge them or to judge yourself. You just see the images, and in your head, it says either this photo is better than yours or it's not. And if it's not better than yours, then you feel like a better photographer than them. And if it is better than yours, then you feel like a worse photographer than them. But you're not them. You're not them. You may both be a photographer, but you're two very different people. And therefore, it's not possible to compare yourself to another photographer. If I gave you an orange and said, tell me that that's the best apple in the world, it'd be the worst apple in the world, because it's not an apple. It's an orange. But they're both fruit. They're both fruit, but they're very different fruits. So as a photographer, again, challenge yourself. Figure out a way that you can experiment and get out of your comfort zone with things like technique and subject and composition. And I will tell you that for myself, in my own personal photography, when I shoot a wedding, I feel less creative because I know that I'm not just shooting for myself. I am shooting for my couple. I'm shooting for their family, and I'm shooting for my couple's children, future children, and grandchildren as well. And there's a bit of a weight to that that says, okay, play it safe because the stakes are high, because I don't have to just worry about myself, but I have to worry about how everybody else perceives these images as well. But when I shoot for myself, when I shoot personal work, I feel most free and creative because I take the approach of nobody will ever see this photo if I don't want them to. I can literally shoot however I want to. I can try anything new. But just because I take the photo doesn't mean that it's going to get shared with the world. And there's a freedom in that, because now you're not concerned on whether or not the photo is going to be better or worse than another photographer's before you even take it. You haven't even taken it and you've already judged the photo. You cannot do that. So go out and just experiment as if, again, nobody is looking at your photos. Feel free. Feel free to shoot. Feel free to shoot as if, again, nobody's looking at your photos. Feel free to shoot and know that you are going to take a bad photo, or 10 bad photos, or 63 bad photos, or whatever it is. Know that as you keep shooting, you will get better, but only if you compete with yourself and the photographer who you were the day before. have compassion for yourself, because, you know, sometimes it can feel like a drudge. It can feel grueling, right? It can feel like you're in the weeds and you're going through it. And sometimes you can hit a plateau. There was a long period of time where the work that I was creating, I felt was my best work ever. And then suddenly I went through a batch of weddings that was just like, what is going on here? And I couldn't put my finger on it and I didn't know what it was. But then eventually I got out of that. And when I looked back at those images that originally I was not happy with, it's that I was so busy shooting weddings that I didn't have time to try anything new for myself. And it was when I tried something new and when I, broke out of that comfort zone and said, yeah, I know I'm at a wedding, but, you know, they don't have to see every photo that I take. If I want to try something unique and interesting, I can do that. When I stopped doing that, I became way less happy with my images. When I stopped actively trying to grow and just became stagnant, I didn't get worse. I just didn't grow, which felt like I was now going backwards because I had such growth for, you know, a number of years in a row that felt like, again, those big steps like you feel when you're first learning photography. But once that slows down, it doesn't feel like it's slowing down and you're still making progress forward. It feels like you're now going backwards. And that is why you have to give yourself, you know, that self-compassion. That's why you have to be patient with yourself, because there will be moments where you will go through that. And you have to figure out how you can acknowledge progress. And the only way that you can do that is by taking the time to look at your work. And again, ask yourself, do I like this photo? And be honest with yourself. Do I like this photo? And then figure out why. And then if you do like the photo, celebrate that victory. Celebrate that victory. Small victories are victories too. You know, big victories are great. They feel wonderful, but they die out fast. They're like a firework. When it goes off, holy cow. But 2 seconds after a firework goes off, you already forgot about it because there's another one coming. It's the small victories that build up over time that get you to where you want to be as a photographer. And the only way that you're going to have those small victories is if you recognize them. And the only way to recognize them is to realize where you were at yesterday and where you're at today, and acknowledge that progress. So set realistic expectations to find joy in your own creative journey. If that means taking a break from client work, if that means getting off of social media for a while, if that means not sharing photos with, you know, people close to you who might be negative about your work, or maybe they don't get it, then that's what you got to do. But you have to protect that. You have to protect the thing that gives you that joy. You have to protect that voice inside of you that says, ooh, yeah, I like this. There's something here. And maybe I don't know exactly what that is, but I can tell that it's something. And then you push forward with that. If you don't listen to that voice, if you lose that voice, you will lose. You're going to go right back to comparing yourself to another photographer who's on a completely different journey than you, and you're going to lose. It's self-compassion. It's patience. Embrace mistakes. Take those chances. Realize when you are feeling the external expectations from social media and break free from that to discover your inner vision. You can't compete with another photographer, only with the photographer who you were yesterday. I encourage you to embrace your uniqueness, trust your instincts, take chances in your photography, honestly. And remember, your journey in photography is entirely unique to you. It is entirely different from another photographer. So use that to your advantage. Enjoy this time. Enjoy this process. Don't look at another photographer's journey and say, I wish that could be me. Because if you're, you know, here's another analogy for you. Somebody climbing Mount Everest is, I actually don't know what the elevation change is from base camp of Everest to the top, but it's less than 28,029 feet. But somebody who runs an ultra marathon may go much further, 70 miles or whatever. Or is it 100 miles? I don't know. I don't run marathons. I also don't climb Mount Everest. But that doesn't make one better than another, just because the distances are different. It's their unique journey that they followed. Somebody who climbed Mount Everest might have no desire to run an ultra marathon, and vice versa. And that's fine, because they are their own type of adventure athlete. Same thing, two very different things. So enjoy your journey. Embrace your journey. Go deeper into your journey. Trust yourself. Give yourself that self-compassion. Be patient with yourself. And remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.